This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Parshas Emor is a very full parsha. The parsha begins with the laws of Kohuna, of Kohen not allowed to become Tomei Lemes. And then we talk about the various psulim for a Kohen, various mumim, various physical blemishes and defects. And then we talk about various mumim, various blemishes for animals that would make them unable to actually be offered up as a korban. We then talk about the Moadim, or the Yom Tovim. And then at the end of the parasha, you've got the story with the Makalel, etc. So let's try and focus on some of these ideas, some very interesting ideas. The first idea, it goes to the very opening pasuk of the parasha. Says the pasuk, Vayoyim Hashem el Moshe, Emor el ha-Kohanim, b'nei Aaron, tell the Kohanim, v'amar to aleihem, and say to them, the nefesh lo yitamo ba'amor. And of course, there is a well-known kasha on this opening pasuk. It seems repetitive. The pasuk says, Emor el ha-Kohanim, v'amar to aleihem. And Rashi, of course, picks up on this and in two words expresses the question, says Rashi, Emor el ha-Kohanim, Emor v'amar to. In those two words, Rashi has already addressed the question. Why the repetition? Says Rashi, quoting a Gemara in Yevamos, Lahazhir Gedolim al Haktanim, i.e., that Gedolim, adults, have got to warn children that not only has adult Kohanim have got to be careful not to become Tomei Lemes, not to go to a cemetery, not to go to a house where there is a mace, a dead person in that house, but also to warn their children, the little Kohen, not to do the same. Lahazir Gedolim al Haktanim. In previous years, we've discussed the famous Rav Moshe Feinstein, who questions this, who discusses this, and says a very interesting chinuch lesson that it doesn't seem to fit into the words. Lahazir Gedolim al Haktanim. If that's the case, then why does the pasuk say Emor al Kohanim v'amar to aleihem? It should have said Emor al Kohanim, say to the Kohanim that you tell your children. Why amar to aleihem? We discussed this in previous years, and Moshe gives that beautiful answer that the best way to be mechanech your children is by role modeling it yourself and by being extra careful and scrupulous yourself with this, and therefore that's the best way to teach your children. That we've discussed in the past. Let me share with you a different approach this year. This is the answer I saw in the writings of Yehuda Vagshal. He says a fabulous, fabulous idea. The question he asks is this. You're effectively teaching me the mitzvah of chinuch, that the parents should teach the children this particular topic, i.e. chinuch of tumas kohuna, that a kohen can't become tomei. But the question is, why here? There are hundreds of other places where you could teach the mitzvah of chinuch. The parents have got to teach their kids to keep this particular mitzvah. Shabbos, kashrus, lashon hara. Why the injunction of chinuch, teaching the children this mitzvah, why particularly in the area of Tumas Kohuna, that a Kohen can't become Tomei Lemes? Rav Vagshal answers as follows. The standard approach in Chinuch, if a parent or a teacher tells a child who's done something wrong, he wants to warn them away not to do a certain Aveira, the standard approach will be, don't do that because it's bad. Don't eat treif because eating treif is bad. Don't speak Lashon Hara because Lashon Hara is terrible. That is the standard approach in chinuch and in parenting. Don't do X because X is terrible. That's all well and good, but it doesn't work in the case of being Tomei Lemes for a Kohen. Because if the father, the Kohen daddy, would say to his Kohen son, don't go to that Beis HaKoros. Don't play with those shrotzim, with those animals, because they're going to make you tomei, if they're dead, then because it doesn't work. What's he going to say? Because it's bad to go to the Beis HaKoros? It's bad to go into the house where there's a maze? The little Kohen will turn around to his father and say, Daddy, if it's so bad, why is my friend Yisrael and why is my friend Levi allowed to go? If it's okay for them, surely it's okay for me. What's so bad about it? So you've got to take a different approach. When it comes for being Tomei Lemes, you've got to take a different approach. What's the approach? The approach is the father will say to the son, listen, my dear young man, you are a Kohen, and therefore you are special. And for you to go into a house where there is a mace, that's not appropriate for you, because you are special. And please God, one day you're going to serve in the house of Hashem. You're going to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, and there are special rules that apply to you. In Yiddish, you say it's pasnished. It's not appropriate for you. It's beneath you. The Rabbi Twersky, Rabbi Abraham Twersky, Zecharin Rocha, he used to tell this story, a well-known story, that when he was a 10-year-old boy, his father was the Rav in Milwaukee, and there were lots of Mishlochim, Rabbonim would pass through and would stay in the house. One time, Rosh Hashanah, a Rav was passing through, was staying in their house. And he challenged the little 10-year-old Abraham Twersky to a game of chess. And little Rabbi Twersky said to this fellow, to this Rav, is it okay to play chess on Rosh Hashanah? And the Rav said, yes, it's allowed. Okay, so I'll play. So he played two games of chess. Later, Rabbi Twersky's father, the Rebbe, found out that his son had played chess on Rosh Hashanah. He wasn't happy. So it was, I think, Motzi Rosh Hashanah, he called in his little son. In those days, the son came in, the way Rabbi Twersky describes it, his father was sitting there in his study, his big volume of Gemara open in front of him, and he waited until he was spoken to. Father looks up and said to him, I think he called him Sheila. You played Sheila, you played chess on Rosh Hashanah? So he answered back and said, yeah, the Rosh said to me that it was okay, it was allowed. He said, but you play chess on Rosh Hashanah? And he waited for his son just to sit there. He didn't say anything. You don't just walk out until your father dismisses you. Until the son, got the message that Rosh Hashanah is a day for everything apart from chess, not to play chess. The day before Rosh Hashanah, you play chess. The day after Rosh Hashanah, you play chess. But Rosh Hashanah is too holy a day to play chess on. And then he looked up after a few moments, until the message had sunk in. He looked up and said, tell me, Sheila, did you beat him? And then Sheila nodded. He says, twice, Daddy. Okay, you can go now. That's chinuch. The father said to the son, he wanted to convey and imbue in him the message that Rosh Hashanah is not a day to play chess. But he left his father's study with his self-esteem fully intact. But what was the message? The message was, it's pasnished. It's not appropriate for you. You can do better than that. And therefore, that's really, says Rabbi Vakshal, that's why, of all the mitzvahs, of all the places, to teach the message, lahazhir gudolim alaktanim, to teach the chinuch lesson, we dafka choose this approach. Why? Because there are two ways to tell the child off. Either to say the aveira is bad, or to say that it's pasnished, that you can do better than that. And in this particular area of being tomei lemeis, you have to use the second approach because the first approach doesn't work. And therefore, it's a prototype of ul chinuch, that when you want to mechanech your child, you do so in a way of elevating the child and telling him that he can do better. You're so fortunate, you're so privileged to be a Jew, to keep mitzvahs, and it's inappropriate for you to sort of stoop and to fall short of that. And that fits in with the vart with Yosef HaTzadik. We know, well known, Yosef HaTzadik was 17 years old, found himself alone, torn away from his family in Mitzrayim. And he was tempted on a daily basis for a year by Eishes Potiphar. Until the Gemara says in Sota, according to one opinion, he couldn't contain himself. He was succumbed to the temptation. And says the Gemara in Sota, the next box on the page, at that moment when he was going to do the Aveira, suddenly the image of his father appeared to him. In the future, your brothers, all the Shvatim, are going to appear on the stones of the Ephod. And you will be amongst them. You want to be excluded from that? And to keep the company of Zainos, of harlots. In other words, says the Gemara, the Dmus Tziukno Shel Ovid of Yaakovin appeared to Yosef. Furthermore, the Yalkut Shimoni, again, next box on the page. If you're listening online, send me an email. I'll send it to you, the sheet, j.golk@gmail.com. The Yalkut Shimoni says, another attack. Pam Shnia, Nichnas Not La Kodesh Baruch Hu Evin Shasiya. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Yosef, if you succumb and you do the Aveira, I'm going to take the Evan Shasia, the stone from which the world was created. I'm going to take it, and Harini Mashlichai V'Achri V'Sahilo. And then if I dislodge it, then the whole world will be ruined. Says Rav Akshal, an obvious question. If you were about to commit an Aveira, and the Must Yukne of Aviv, your father's appearance, suddenly appeared in front of you, or a baskol came out and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you do this Aveira, I'm going to take the Evan Shasia and I'm going to destroy the whole world. Would you do the Aveira? So what's the big deal? The explanation is this. What the Chazal are telling us is that when a person gets to the point where they're going to do the Aveira, it's no good saying, don't do the Aveira because Aveira is so terrible, because that's not going to stop the person. But what might stop the person is to turn around and say, you could do better than that. It's pasnished. You could be on the Choshen with your brothers, a part of the Shiftei Kah. You sustain the whole world, and if you do this Aveira, the whole world is going to go into ruin. That approach works. That is a more successful approach in Chinuch. So therefore, this famous Rashi at the beginning of the parasha is teaching us a very powerful lesson. It's telling us that the best and most effective way of being mechanech a child is to tell him not so much that the Aveira is terrible, but a more effective way is to say that it's pasnished, that you can do better than that, it's beneath you, and more is expected of you. That's more effective. Okay, let's move on. The next idea I saw in the writings of Rabbi Daniel Fine, a colleague of mine in Hasmonean and in the Beis Medrash, and he's written many Sfarim, and he's got a fabulous Sefer on Chumash. He's got a few Sfarim on Chumash, and he makes the following observation. Let's take a look at paragraph 2. Vayida be'Hashem el Moshe leimer, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'marat v'alehim. Speak to the Bnei Yisrael and say, Moyadei Hashem asher tikru som mikrei kodesh elehem moyadei. These are my festivals. Pasuk Gimel, Sheishes yomim tasem melacha v'yimashvi Shabbos Shabbos mikrei kodesh. Shabbos is the first one. Shabbos v'la Hashem b'chol meshrei seichem. Next Pasuk, Eile moyadei Hashem mikrei kodesh, etc. B'chodesh arishin barbos l'chodesh b'nabayim Pesach Hashem, etc. So what's striking is that the structure is, these are my moyadim, we're told about Shabbos, these are my moyadim, we're told about all the Yom Tovim, starting with Pesach. So two questions. Question number one, why is Shabbos called a moyad? If I would have said to you a few minutes ago, what are the moyadim? You'd say to me, the moyadim are the Yom Tovim. Why is Shabbos included in that? Why is Shabbos called a moyad? Question number two, why is it that the Yom Tovim appear in this week's parasha in Sefer Vayikra in Parshas Emor, but Shabbos we're told about in Sefer Shemos on two sort of different placements. One is in respect of the Mon, we're told about the Mon, we're told about Shabbos. And the second is regarding the Mishkan, that we're told about the Mishkan, we're told about Shabbos. So why is it the Yom Tov is in Sefer Vayikra in this week's parasha, Parshas Emor, and Shabbos is in connection with the Mon and Mishkan in Sefer Shemos? The answer he gives is this, and it's a beautiful answer, and you'll see many examples of it. What is a moyed? A moyed literally means a meeting. There are two ways in which you can have a meeting. If A and B want to meet, A can either go to B, or B can go to A. Both are meetings. That's exactly what's happening here. Shabbos and Yom Tov are both meetings. They're different. When it comes to Yom Tov, we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us. Now, think about this theme, because there are many examples of exactly that. The most obvious example is being Ola L'Regel. On Yom Tov, there is a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. We go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no mitzvah of being Ola L'Regel on Shabbos, because we're not going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to us. Another example. Shabbos, we stand up Kiddush Friday night and we say, Zeche L'masa Bereishis. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to us. He came down to this world to create it. On Yom Tov, we say, Zeche L'tzias Mitzrayim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim and we were raised sort of in Ruchni, spiritually, to go to Him. Other examples. on Shabbos we say Mekadesh HaShabbos, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fixed the dates of Shabbos on a weekly basis and therefore comes to us. But on Yom Tov it's Mekadesh Yisrael B'Hazmanim, we declare Yom Tov, and that brings about the Kudusha. We go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another example is, interestingly, Kabbalah Shabbos. There's a concept of Kabbalah Shabbos, which means the certain Mizmorim, the Lechod Doidi, we go and greet Shabbos because Shabbos is joining us, so we welcome Shabbos. Boi Chala, Boi Chala. When it comes to Yom Tov, we start with Baruch Hu. There's no Kabbalah because we're going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another example is Zmiris. There are plenty of Zmiris that have been composed especially for Shabbos. Why is it there are no Zmiris composed especially for Yom Tov? They're Nigunim and this and that, but there's no Zmiris which is especially for Yom Tov. The answer is because when Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us, so it's appropriate to welcome HaKadosh Baruch Hu with specifically composed songs. But when it comes to Yom Tov, Rabbi Fein quotes of Yosha Ben Soloveitchik that it's not appropriate, it's not fitting to spontaneously go into the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sing songs there. So therefore, Shabbos is a time where we compose special nigunim of zmiris to welcome HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our home. Another example is tefillah. You know, Chaim Shmulevitz used to say that tefillah is when we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to us. Therefore, tefillah, we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we elevate ourselves. That's the focus of Yom Tov. Either through tefillah, through korbanos, because the idea is we're going up to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're elevating ourselves. But Shabbos is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us, the Torah is being directed to us. Hashem talks to us, it's a day of rest, and it's a time where more time is allowed for Torah. The Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Sadi Sif Beis, all week long, business people are involved in work. Yasu Yosef, but Torah b'Shabbos, they should work, they should learn more on Shabbos. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to us. Another example, final example, is the Shemoneh Esrei itself. On Shabbos, we know we have three different Shemoneh Esreis. Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon. Maariv, and then Shachris, and then Mincha. Each one has a different theme. The theme of Friday night is Vayichul HaShemayim V'aretz, creation. Shabbos morning is Matan Torah. And then we have Shabbos afternoon, which is Atzo Echo, which the theme is Moshiach. All three are themes about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. But Yom Tov is when we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we go up, we elevate ourselves. It's the same for Shemoneh Esrei, for Shachris, for Mincha, for Maariv. So you see a very beautiful idea that emerges. Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us. Yom Tov, we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're both called Moed. And therefore, to answer our two questions, why is Shabbos called a Moed? The answer is Shabbos is absolutely called a Moed. It's just a different type of Moed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us as opposed to the other Moed where we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Tov. And why is it that Shabbos is in the Sefer Shemos in connection with the Mon and the Mishkan? Because the Mon and the Mishkan are two very good examples of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to this world. And with Mon, he's sending down his gifts to this world. That's what Shabbos always is. And the Mishkan is a beautiful example of that. Because the Mishkan, you've got a finite space here in this world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah comes down and resides in this world. So you see that Mon and Shabbos are examples where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us. And Yom Tov, which is written in the Parshas Emor, which is in the Sefer Vayikra, is with Korbanos where we elevate ourselves to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're focusing on going that way. Fine. So a very, very interesting and beautiful approach of Rabbi Daniel Fein. Now, the next idea, the final idea for this evening, is I'm very excited about, because I was learning Chumash Rashi earlier in the week, and I came across this Rashi, and I thought to myself, how interesting. Let me explain what I mean. There is a well-known Gemara. It's a Gemara that we come across, of course, on Tisha B'Av, the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, a story we're all familiar with. To remind ourselves, let's take a look at the second box in paragraph 3, Gittin Nun Vav Amud Aleph. The story so far is that a person had a friend, Kamtza, an enemy called Bar Kamtza. He got the invitations mixed up, and Bar Kamtza goes and shows up at the wedding, and the host sees this fellow and says, so annoyed, and he kicks him out, and the guy pleads, I'll pay for my meal, I'll pay for half the suda, I'll pay the whole suda. The host is not interested. He kicks him out. Says the Gemara, Nokte biyodev ukme va'afke. He takes him by the hand, he leads him out, he throws him out. Oma. So Bar Kamtza says, I'm at the top line there. Hoyel v'yosfu rabbonon v'lemoch. Since the rabbonon were there and they didn't protest, shmaminon nikonichlehu. Clearly they're okay with this host's behavior. And he was so upset, so humiliated. Ezel eichel b'kutz be'malka. I'm going to be malshan, I'm going to go and inform on them to the authorities. Ozlom alelekeisa, he tells the Caesar, Mordu boch Yehudoi, the Jews are rebelling against you. Omalei, so the Caesar replied, Miyema, how do you know who says? Omalei, I'll prove it to you. Shodor lehu kurbono, send a carbon. Chazisi mekari makriv amalei. See if they offer it up or not. Also, shodor biyode eglitilsa, he sends a fine carbon. Bahadi tekaasi shodor beimum. Now, Bar Kamtza, as the carbon was being sent, the delegation was sent to Yerushalayim, Bar Kamtza put a mum, a blemish, into the animal, either benifs for Simon in the lip, the omelot bedukin shiva'ayim, another say in the white of the eye, in the eyelid, duchta, in a place. The lididan, that for us, have a mum, it's a mum, but lididhu lav mumuhu, but for them, for the non-Jewish people, it's not considered a mum. Now the Rabbanan didn't know what to do. You've got an animal which has a blemish, which has a mum. So do we offer it up because of Shalom Malchus? So can't do that. Because otherwise people will say, you're allowed to offer up animals with a blemish to Mizbech. So maybe they should kill Bar Kamtza, they shouldn't go back and report back what had happened. No, people will mistakenly conclude that those people who put a mum in the kochim are chayiv misa, not true. Because of the anvasunusai of Rabbi Zachar ben Zachar ben Avkulus, our Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Okay, Ad Kan, the well-known Gemara. The question you could ask on this Gemara is this. We know that a non-Jewish person can bring korbanos. The Chazal tell us, Nochrim, Nejim, and Nadarim, and Adobs, Kisra, they're allowed to bring voluntary offerings. But we know that what blemish, what mum puzzles a korban for a non-Jewish person, it's mechusa eva. It's got to be that it's missing a limb. So what was the problem over here? Well, they're offering up an animal with it, which is a blemish. What is the Gemara talking about? Beduk and Shabayin. A small blemish, which they don't consider a blemish. Well, what does the Gemara mean? Isn't the standard for the non-Jewish carbon mechusa eva? The answer, of course, is in Rashi in this week's parasha. You see, Rashi says on the pasuk, Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Chaf Hei. Look at the first box in paragraph 3. The pasuk says, Umiyad ben necha loisak krivu, and from the hand of a non-Jewish person, loisak krivu, you mustn't offer up a carbon. If it has any of these blemishes, if it has any of these mumim that the Torah has listed in this week's parasha, mum bom lo yerot zulochem. If there is a mum, if there is a defect, a blemish on the animal, lo yerot zulochem, the animal won't be accepted. Says Rashi, afal pish le nesru bali mumim le karbon b'nei noyach, elim kein mechusri eva. Even though normally, what disqualifies an animal for a non-Jewish person, if it's mechusa eva, if it's missing a limb, a whole leg is missing, or whatever it may be. Zayis meheges b'bomish b'sodas. That's only true on bomois, on altars, private altars. Avul ala mizbeach sheba mishkon noisikrevuha. But on the mizbeach in the mishkon, or in the Beis HaMikdosh, you can't offer up any type of mum. Avul tzmima tzakablu mehem, but you can accept a tomim, a perfectly unblemished animal. The Kach Nemre says, "Ish ish l'rabbis anochim shenodim medarim v'nadavus kisra." Beautiful. So now I understand my Gemara Kamtza Bar Kamtza. Bar Kamtza dafka put a mum in the animal, which for us is considered a mum, a small blemish on the lip or on the eyelid, but for them that's not considered a mum. What's considered a mum for them? Mechusa eva, missing a whole limb. Beautiful. I understand. So I thought to myself, this Rashi explains the Gemara of Kamtza Bar Kamtza. Beautiful. Does anybody make the connection? So I went on to my Oitzim Mefarshim, and I saw not many people speak about it. I thought it was quite an important connection. No one speaks about it. And then I came across one. I came across an insight of the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer, the previous, I think it's the previous Belzer Rebbe. He doesn't say exactly who. It says, Harav HaKadosh Belzer, Chus Yogan, you know, I think it's of Aaron, the previous Belzer Rebbe. But this is what he says. He asks a question. He asks a question of the end of our posuk. Says the Belzer Rebbe, Yesh Lehovin, one has to understand, Esiyum HaPosuk Lo Yirotzu Lochem. The posuk says, don't accept a carbon from a non-Jewish person if the carbon has a mum. Ask of Aaron, and then if you do, lo yeirotzu lachem, because it won't be accepted, won't find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Belzer Rebbe, ma ha-havamin ashe yeirotzu lachem. What's the havamin? Why do we need to be told if it's got a blemish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't accept it? Of course he won't accept it. What's the havamin? What was my initial understanding? Listen to this. Mishmei Rav HaKadosh Mubelz, zuchusa yogin aleinu, this is what he says. Move on. On the contrary, when a non-Jewish person brings an animal with a blemish, you could have said that there is favor found. It does appear very nicely for Klal Yisrael. Because thereby, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the difference between us and non-Jewish people. Because for us, we insist on the animal being 100% free of any blemish. But for the non-Jewish people, they've got a slightly lower standard, and perhaps some blemishes are acceptable. Continues the pasuk. That's my havamina. Continues the pasuk. No, when it comes to something offered up in the mizbeach, on the Mishkan or in the Beis Hamikdash, no, ein lahakriv shel goy dekiven she'asru Torah zayin la'yiratz lachem. No blemishes whatsoever. I won't accept it. Fine, says the Belzer Rebbe. That's the havamina. Now, amazingly, the Belzer Rebbe then carries on and says, that's what's going on in this case of Kamtz and Bar Kamtz. Look at the next paragraph. There is nothing which is not hinted to in the Torah. The Nirmaz Bazel of the Didon, Shahosophic God Malas is Bukarban Akriva Shulakriva. They had a big sophic in the time of the Beis Hamikdash and the Churban, whether or not to offer up this carbon that they had sent through from the Caesar by way of Bar Kamtz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, is intimating, that regardless, this carbon is not going to be accepted. What the Caesar sends through Bar Kamtza is not going to be accepted. Fine, beautiful. So he makes the connection. But then he makes a point, a gematria, which is quite astonishing. Listen to this. Look at the last line. The Simonich, says the Belzer Rebbe, Mum bom lo yerotzu lachem. The final four words of this pasuk, five words. Mum bom lo yerotzu lachem. That there is a mum, there is a blemish, a defect on the animal. Lo yerotzu lachem. It will not be accepted for you. Has the same gematria as huva aleichem biyad bar kamtza. That is brought to you via bar kamtza. Wow. I.e., what's the Belzer Rebbe saying? The Belzer Rebbe is saying, That's exactly the point, that they bring this animal. It's got a small mum, a small blemish on the animal. I might have thought that this animal would be for Lerotz and HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it shows Klal Yisrael in a favorable light, because we have a standard much higher, no blemishes whatsoever, but the Einu Yehudim, the Nochri, has a lower standard. Says Hashem, that's outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But in the Beis HaMikdash, it's got to be perfect. And that's what the Bar Kamtza was trying. He put on the mum, this little mum, that for them is not a defect, for us is a defect. But it's hinted to that mum, when it comes to the Bar Kamtza's carbon, Hashem says, I'm not going to accept it. And therefore, the gematria of mum bom lo yerotzu lachem is the same gematria of huva aleichem biyad Bar Kamtza. I must tell you, I was a bit dubious. So I checked it out. I did the maths. I got my calculator out. Mum bom lo yerotzu lachem, if my maths is correct, comes to 555. And Huva Aleichem Biyad Bar Kamtza is 554. So if my math is correct, could be that I was wrong, one out, I think, in gematria is acceptable. But a very interesting insight, and I'm pleased that the connection was made between the story of Bar Kamtza and Rashi in this week's Parsha. Let me just conclude by summarizing the three ideas that we have seen this evening. The first idea on the first Pasuk in the Parsha, Emor Alakahanim V'amarto Aleichem, says Rashi famously, Lahazir Gudolim Alakhtanim. This is the mitzvah where you have to make sure you are machanech your children. But why here? why the mitzvah of chinuch in Parshas Emor when it comes to the kohen not becoming tomei lemeis, says Yehuda Vagshal, beautiful, because the Torah is instructing us how you are machanich. You cannot be machanich by saying this aveira is terrible, 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 but machanich better by saying that you could do better. It's pasnished. This is beneath you. That's a more effective way of doing chinuch. Because in this parsha, this is the only way to do it. You can't say this is terrible. Because if it's so terrible, how can my friend the Yisrael, my friend the Levi, do it? The Torah is therefore instructing us. And that's really what we see with Yosef HaTzadik, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him, and the Demus Dukna Shel Aviv comes to him, not to say the Aveira is terrible, but this is beneath you, Yosef. That's exactly the approach that was more successful when it came to Yosef. The second idea by Daniel Fine, the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Both are described as a Moed. Why is Shabbos called a Moed? And why are the placements in this week's parasha for Yom Tov and in Sefer Shemos with the Mon and the Mishkan for Shabbos? The Teretz is because there are two types of Moed. A goes to B, B goes to A. On Yom Tov, we go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us. And we saw many examples of manifestation of that distinction. And lastly, the pasuk in the parasha Miyad ben Nechelus Akrivu, the parasha talks about all different types of blemishes of animals which are not allowed on the Mizbeach. And even if a Gentile, a ben Necho, tries to offer a carbon, we still insist that it's got to have no blemishes. It's Mechusa Eva. That's only outside of the Mishkan. That's in the Bamas Yochid, says Rashi. But in the Mizbeach of the Mishkan or of the Beis HaMikdash, it has the same standard as the Jewish person. It says the Belzer Rebbe, what's the Havamina? Why would I think Lo Yerotzu Lachem? Says the Belzer Rebbe, I might have thought that if you offer up an animal with a blemish, which for them is allowed, even on a Bamas Yochid, maybe it should be allowed in the Mishkan as well. And that will highlight the different standards between us and them, and it will show us in a favorable light. Afar Pichem, we don't do it. And that explains the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, that he puts a small blemish in the animal. Surely a small blemish is not doesn't puzzle their carbon. The answer is you're right. But that's only for a Bamas Yochid, for a private Bama, private Mizbeach, outside of the Mishkan, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, we don't accept it. And therefore, they didn't accept this carbon. And that's alluded to in the very pasuk in this week's parsha. Mum bom le'yerot lochem has the same gematria as huva aleichem biyad bar kamtza. Amazing, remarkable. I wish you all a very good evening. Thank you for listening and have a very good Shabbos.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.